for joining me this morning, and this is Minding Your Health, the show that helps you find ways to take back control in issues regarding your mental and physical health. I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist and a certified hypnosis instructor at the Fair Hypnosis Center in Eden Prairie. I use hypnosis to help people succeed when nothing else has worked, and I'm so glad to be here with you every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Today is part three of our four-part series on parenting, and today we're going to be talking about children and divorce. I have two guests with me this morning. Ann Byrne is with Byrne Law Office, and Ann is an experienced attorney practicing primarily in the areas of family law, estate planning, and estate administration. Ann understands that losing a loved one or going through a challenging family legal issue like divorce are some of the most difficult times in an individual's life. And Ann uses a client-focused approach so that whatever she has to do legally helps meet the needs of the individual. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you.
And I also have Erin Kassebaum with Divorce Mediation Services. Erin is a mediator and a parenting consultant who works with couples during all phases of the divorce process. Erin's goal is to help couples make child-centered decisions during and after the divorce process. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. So let's just dive right into this. Most of the things we're going to be talking about are dealing with young children. They're the ones that tend to struggle the most through this. I think a lot of times parents think their young children don't understand what's going on and are oblivious to it. And they couldn't be far more incorrect, right, ladies?
Correct.
Yeah. So, Ann, let's start with you. If you're the parent of a young child thinking about divorce, where do you start?
I think the main place to start is to talk to your current spouse.
Okay.
And the best way to handle kids going through a divorce is if the parents together can work with their children to make it as simple as possible. That's not about the legal process, obviously, but the way kids get through a divorce without being damaged mm-hmm. is if their parents can cooperate and communicate and not put the children in the middle.
Right. And it's really hard when I know I'm divorced and I had a child. She wasn't young. She was 15 when that all started, which is also a very challenging age.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're so caught up in our own stuff as adults. The marriage is not working. It's falling apart. And there's so many emotional issues that go with that, that it's really hard for us to think about what our child might be experiencing. So that's kind of what we're talking about here. Erin, how can divorce impact children in different developmental stages?
Well, the good news is for really regardless of how old your child is, if parents do things right, their kids can be fairly minimally impacted by their divorce. That there's all kinds of research that shows that if parents can get through their divorce in a fairly short period of time and manage the conflict between them, which is going to be normal when they're in the process. But if they can get through that process and both move on with their lives, that their kids really can be fairly minimally impacted by their divorce, regardless of what ages are, their children are. The flip side of that is if their conflict is very long-lasting, if they're in court over and over and over again for years and years, those kids can be pretty severely impacted and damaged by their parents' divorce. And we see that. Anne and I both see those cases a lot, and those kids are hurting. So I know Anne's goal and my goal in working with parents is to try to minimize that conflict and have parents move on with their lives.
That's right, because children, like adults too, we all need some kind of normalcy in our life. And obviously the child's life is going to change dramatically. They're going to be not just in one house with mom and dad, but they're going to be in separate houses and different houses. And getting them back to whatever that new normal is really important for their well-being. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when we start looking at that legal process, and Erin, this is for you too. When do we tell the kids? And do you have any suggestions around that? How do you tell the children? I know that was huge when we had to sit my daughter down and do it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want it, so I made him do it because it was his idea. And he didn't handle all that well. And I wish, looking back, I would have done it. I mean, we were both in the same room, but someone's got to speak, right? Mm-hmm. So do you have any suggestions for parents on what that might look like?
Well, it goes back to how I answered the first question, I guess. I think the parents, before they sit down with the child, should sit down with each other and think about how they want to communicate this change and communicate it together. So in your example, maybe some additional preparation about what we want to tell our child and how we want to help them through this process and those kinds of conversations. I think if you have them before you sit down with your child, the child is probably going to be in a better situation. I had a client that I'm working with right now, and he and his wife just last week sat down and talked with their children together. It was a very difficult conversation, but they were prepared together to have the conversation, and they did it as a team. And I think it worked as well as it can. It's still very difficult for children to hear that message. It's not what they want to know.
Right.
But the preparation and the cooperation and communication can make a big difference.
It does. And, you know, in the first segment, I talked about how to prepare children. And I used an example of, you know, your son's going to play t-ball for the first time, and he's not particularly good at it. You know, having those answers, those statements prepared in advance for when he doesn't do well is just as important for having them prepared as when they do well. So I totally agree with you. And, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, right?
Yep.
And we learn from our mistakes. And I think, you know, I remember talking with my daughter and trying to make it better after the fact. And that's also very important because as parents, we don't do everything perfectly. And we are hurting ourselves. We are dealing with emotional turmoil ourselves. And we're not going to be perfect at this. And so it's a great teaching opportunity to go back and say, you know, I didn't really handle this all that well. So can we do a do-over, right?
Right.
I think that that's really, really important. Aaron, so when we look at a child and their developmental stage, I also talked a lot about this in the first segment. Children are very literal when they're young, especially under the age of 8. They take it all in. Talk to me a little bit more about how divorce interrupts that.
Well, I think the big thing to keep in mind is kids, especially when they're young, is that they're going to believe everything you tell them.
Right.
and clearly that goes away. I have a teenage daughter, and I can tell you that is not true anymore.
That's right.
But when they're young, yes, they believe everything you tell them. So if you are telling them, you know, if you're at the beginning of your divorce process and you really don't know what your parenting time schedule is going to be, and if you're telling them, you know, you're going to be staying with me all the time, they're going to believe that. And if that doesn't end up being true by the time you're done with your divorce process, you've kind of made some irreparable
damage. Yeah,
there's
a trust issue.
You're going to erode that trust that you have with your kids. So I think, particularly with young kids, bearing in mind that they kind of think that you know everything and that you know what's going on and you're in charge. And when you're in the middle of a divorce, that is not true. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the plan is yet. And so I think the more that you can tell your particularly young child is, I can promise you that you're always going to be taken care of, that your mom is always going to love you, that your dad is always going to love you. And the more that you can reassure them, because that you know is true,
right?
Is that both parents are going to love them. And, you know, mom and dad are going to work together and figure this out and figure out the best plan for how we're going to still take care of you and still be able to love you and have a good relationship with you. The more you can tell them that, the better they're going to do.
Yeah, and that's really, really important, especially for children that are real young, like 6 or under, because it's our brain. I talk a lot about this on the show, how our brain is wired for survival. That's its main job, is to make sure that we survive. And when you have a really young child, their survival is dependent upon their parents. The younger they are, the more
more critical that becomes. Who's going to feed me? Who's going to take me to school? Who's going to take care of me, tuck me in bed at night? Those are all things that are critically important. And when that gets, you know, up in the air, that's the first place that child goes. And I work with adults, old adults, that will, in hypnosis, go kind of back to that time of turmoil. And that's their big fear. It's all about fear. How am I going to survive? Who's going to take care of me? Because they are not capable of doing that. With a teenager, I mean, they're going to think, I can do anything. I can take care of myself. I don't need you. So we get into another whole set of issues. But with those young children, that's really critical for them. Yeah. So let's talk about, go back to that cooperation thing. One of the things that occurred to me as you were both talking is that sometimes parents do a really good job of trying to hide their problems from their children. I mean, we have two extremes usually. We have the parents that fight openly in front of their kids, and there can be good and bad to that. And then we have the parents who keep everything hidden. And so it becomes a total shock to their child to be hearing this. I think that's the way it was in my situation. We kept everything secret. And this was very unexpected. So any comment on that real quick? We can come back to this after the break.
I actually think there's a sort of a middle ground to okay. what you described, and that is making sure you don't put the children in the middle of the process. And that's what I see more often that damages children.
Okay.
So it's fine to share your emotions at some level, but not too far. But it's the parents who say, tell your other parent I said this, or tell your other parent we're going to do that. And putting the kids in the middle is the worst part of the process. That's what really, I think, confuses children.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. I know sometimes I've had some people tell me they send the alimony check through the child. And that's a huge no-no, right? Yep. They're both shaking their heads
support,
here.
Child support, yep. We see it all the time.
Yeah, just keep that child out of it. Those are adult issues, right?
Exactly.
Adult things to deal with, and the child shouldn't have to have that responsibility. So we're going to come back for a moment. In a few moments here, we're talking with Ann Byrne with Byrne Law Office and Eric Kassebaum with Divorce Mediation Services about how to parent that young child through divorce. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and this is Minding Your Health. Today, we're helping you take back control by empowering you through education on parenting through divorce. We're talking with Ann Byrne with Byrne Law Office and Aaron Kassebaum. And Aaron, I'm sorry, it's with Resolution Divorce Services. So for those of you that are making notes, make sure you change that. You know how to find her. Aaron, we were talking over the break. You have some things you want to add about children not knowing. And I see that big smile on your face. I know exactly what you're going to say. So go for it.
Yeah, I think a lot of times parents think they're doing a really good job of hiding the conflict between them from their kids. And, you know, everything kids notice everything.
They
notice absolutely everything. They are living in the moment when they're that. You know, as adults, we're all distracted all the time and anxious and thinking about 500 things. Kids are living in the moment. And because they're living in the moment, they notice absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And also because they are very self-centered, which they should be, that's developmentally appropriate for them to be self-centered. When they notice something is amiss, they immediately say, what did I do wrong? Why are my parents mad at each other? What did I do?
Yeah.
And so because they're noticing everything and they are self-centered, they're going to immediately interpret that they're at fault. So the more parents, and obviously you can't be telling them what you're fighting about, but the more even that things are happening between you, the more you can just tell kids, you know, we're going to figure this out. We're going to take care of you. The better the kids are going to do.
Yeah. And, you know, while you're talking, it raises another issue that just came into my mind. And that is, what do we tell our child? You know, I see some parents, for the listeners, they know I used to own a Montessori school. And we had children 3 to 12. And there were parents that got divorced during that time. And it was amazing to me some of the things that the parents didn't say to their children and some of the things that they shared. Because your children are not your best friend, and they're not the place to vent or to find sympathy or comfort. you're there as a parent to do that for them. And they can't take on your problems. And yet I do see a lot of parents, Anna's shaking her head over here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a huge mistake. So finding that balance with how much do you tell your child? Anne, do you have any things you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think, well, as the attorney here, I think the main thing you don't talk to your children about is the legal process, right? They don't need to know anything about whether we're going to go see a judge, what step we are, you know, whether we even have attorneys or not. I don't think they need to know a single thing about the legal process, to tell you the truth, other than maybe some general information that we're working it through and we'll get it resolved and, you know, you'll be a part of the process. But some people like to say, I have clients, they'll say, well, my kids know we're going to court tomorrow and they know exactly what we're going to talk about and, you know, we're going to make a decision. The judge is going to make a decision where you're going to live your life. And that just scares kids to death.
Well, who would feel comfortable with that? This person that I don't even know, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And that also gives the impression that mom and dad don't have any control in this.
Yes.
So, and again, it goes back to that survival thing. They're the ones supposed to be taking care of me. So, and the other thing I think that's really important to realize is that depending on the age of your child, once they get into a school environment, they've heard this before from their friends, right? Especially when they get into elementary school, other kids they know, parents have divorced. And those children have shared with your child, you know, their perspective, which doesn't have anything to do with the truth, but their perception of what's happening here. And that can really get children into trouble too, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Another place that I see a lot of problems sometimes is the as you're developing separate homes, the handoffs between the children,
okay.
The dropping off and the picking up. And some people handle that beautifully, and some people that creates a place of tension.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe they haven't seen each other for a while, and so they start to bring up all these adult issues because that's the only time they see their spouse or their soon-to-be ex or their ex. And so they start raising all these issues right when they're exchanging the children. And that's a really sensitive time, I think, for the kids when they're going from parent A to parent B's home. So that's just another thought that I had as we're talking about this. If you've got some adult issues, it's not a good time to describe or discuss them when you're exchanging children.
Right. And I would say, too, because I had a client that was just in the middle of this, you know, the other woman would come to the door to answer the door when the children arrived. Never a good idea. That's just salt in an open wound. Mm-hmm. And it's also very confusing for the children, too, especially young children. Young children are going to think, oh, this person is replacing mommy, or God only knows what else is in their mind, because it could be anything, right? So as parents who, you know, if they are in another relationship as theirs is ending, you know, my advice, I don't know about yours, I'll let you guys chime in, is keep that other person out of the picture for a while. I mean, number one, you want to make sure they're going to be around before you introduce them, because there's a lot of change going on in your child's life, and that really is very challenging for them to handle. Erin, you want to chime in there?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely while the divorce is new, introducing new partners is just not a good idea. That mm-hmm. Those kids are already in this massive state of upheaval. And, you know, even for the person who might be in that new relationship, they might be excited and, you know, experiencing all these new things, and they think you want to share that with your kids. But for your kids, it's just not a good time to do it. I have parents, and mediation parents agree to things, and I generally see parents agree that they have to be in a relationship for at least 6 months before they're going to introduce kids to new partners. And I mean, when a divorce is fresh, I think that is the minimum I would consider. You know, it's one thing if you've been divorced for 3 years and you've got a new relationship. That's a different thing. But when a divorce is fresh, those kids' whole world is just on shaky, shaky ground, and that just shakes it up even more.
Absolutely. So we have a few minutes left in this segment. I want to start talking about the difference. Erin, you're a mediator and you're a lawyer. A lot of people may not understand the nuances of what that means and when to use one versus the other or when to use both. Erin, talk to me a little bit about what the mediation part of it.
So I do a lot of mediations with unrepresented clients. So that means mom and dad hire me. I just was in a session last night, and I sit with mom and dad, and we make agreements. We do finance, you know, how they're going to split up all their finances, how they're going to pay for child support, and how they're going to make parenting time decisions. So I sit with clients quite often and do that. We call it pro se, so they're meaning unrepresented. And Anne can talk about, I also do a lot of mediations with attorneys present because it is a part of the legal process. Clients are ordered to go to mediation usually before judges are going to make decisions. So mediation is really, either with or without attorneys, a place for parents to sit down and make decisions on behalf of their own family, financial and parenting time decisions.
Okay. And obviously the advantage is there are less dollars involved.
Absolutely.
If they can get that way.
Dollars.
Do they still need an attorney through the divorce part of it? Or?
For my unrepresented clients that I work with, I do always recommend that, you know, well, let's make some initial decisions in mediation. It's a confidential process, so they're not beholden to those decisions until they're signed off on. So then they can take those initial decisions, take them to an attorney, get some independent legal advice, and then come back. I also do a lot of mediations where attorneys are present. So
okay.
It's kind of up to the client.
It's up to the client. Okay. And why would they prefer to do that with you rather than their lawyer?
Just to keep costs down.
Just to keep costs down. Okay. Very good. So when we come back from break, we're going to be talking with Anne about when is it appropriate to get that lawyer involved. And I'm assuming, Erin, you can usually give advice that, you know, I think you better have a lawyer here.
Yep.
Is that right?
Sometimes I do say that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because you can see maybe things aren't going
yep.
all that well, right? So we'll be back in just a few minutes after this commercial break with Anne and Erin. Welcome back to Minding Your Health. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and we're here at the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950, talking with Anne Byrne with Byrne Law Office and Erin Kassebaum with Resolution Divorce Services. When we left off, we were talking about the difference between mediation and using a lawyer. Anne, when do we come to you?
Well, in most cases, you're going to need both. It really depends on the case. And when we're talking about kids, in the old days, we always went through a more adversarial process. And either we figured it out through the attorneys or we went to a judge. And we still sometimes need to go to a judge, but we avoid that as much as possible. So now we have all these tools on the other end about how we can help parents make decisions about their kids. The best tool, I think, is mediation. There's all kinds of other tools, and we could get into details if you'd like. But if, first of all, the best choice is for parents to try to resolve it on their own. And we do have techniques. I have parenting plan worksheets, and I have, you know, information they can look at and try to make decisions on their own. So actually, that's my first choice. If you can sit down with your spouse about how you want to co-parent, that's the first best choice. If you can't, mediation is the next choice.
Okay.
And sometimes we use a mediator without the attorneys, and sometimes the attorneys are present. And it really depends on the situation, the parents, and both attorneys. There are attorneys that would never send their clients to a mediation without being present. I'm not of that opinion, depending on the type of client. There are cases where I think they don't need me in the room. I'll always block it off on my calendar, and they can call me at any time. But there are some cases where maybe they'll make better progress. I make a distinction about what I think will be best for those clients.
Yeah. Do you find a lawyer automatically kind of puts the guard up on both sides sometimes?
Yeah, it kind of does, actually. And, you know, in terms of parenting schedules and how we're going to when the kids are going to be with me and when they're going to be with their parent, other parent, there are certainly legal parameters and there are legal guidelines. And there's certain things they have to be thinking about. But on the other hand, there's really no right or wrong to a parenting schedule.
Right.
And when you're going to have vacations and when you're going to have holidays. It's really a very personal family decision. So as an attorney, I don't have that much to add to the you know, conversation other than what I've seen with other clients in terms of what works and what doesn't work.
Right, right.
But it really is a more personal decision, and I love having a mediator involved. It makes all the difference. They're neutral. I'm representing one of the clients.
Right.
And I think the neutrality is important.
That's a great point. And would you say, Erin, that the biggest area of conflict, I mean, obviously one would be money.
Yeah.
But the other is the custody issue. Who's going to have primary custody? And how is that going to work? Do you see that as one of the biggest challenges?
Yeah, absolutely. Designing a parenting time schedule, I mean, can be really, really tricky. I have, you know, particularly with unrepresented clients, a lot of times they're pretty amicable and they come in and say, we've already decided it's going to be 50-50 week on, week off. Sometimes they come in and say, we have no idea, and both sides have heels dug in on one schedule or not. And then we look at really digging down into what's going to be best for the kids. What, you know, particularly if parents are living further apart, there can be lots of challenges involved with right. the further apart parents live. And just trying to keep things, you know, if kids are used to having a really involved parent, from both parents very, very involved, we're going to want to see that continue for kids after. If it's been one primary parent and the other parent hasn't done as much of, I always call it heavy lifting, the parenting duties, then that's probably going to be what we see continue at least for a while. But, you know, people come to all different kinds of decisions, and it's not necessarily a legal issue, it's a what's best for your family issue.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and really when it comes to that, I mean, divorce has just got so many elements that are involved in it. And like I say, the adults are going through really hard things themselves a lot of times. But it is about, if you have a child, that gives an additional layer of very important responsibility. And as parents, you chose that when you decided to have a child. So it is what is best for the kids. Sometimes there's questions about what happens at the other parent's house. So what would you ladies like to say about that?
First of all, I think it's important for the parents to recognize that what happens at the other house won't be exactly the same as what happens at their house.
Right.
And sometimes parents get way caught up in small things, in my opinion. There are big things that need to have – the kids need consistency in both homes, mm-hmm. but they don't need it to be absolutely the same, and that causes problems sometimes. So I don't really spend a lot of time with my clients. My major advice, I guess, let me pull back a level, is to say you shouldn't really have a lot of those conversations about what goes on in the other family, in the other home, because it tends to start to be critical mm-hmm. if it's not the same as what's going on in my family, and we
right.
want to avoid that. So the details of what you had for dinner and those kinds of things, parents need to kind of let that go.
Let that go, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of research out there that shows that you know, parents will get into conflict about what the kids had at the other parent's house for dinner, or how many hours of video games, or, you know, all of these things which seem very important. And I'm a parent myself. I can recognize, you know, I don't want my kid playing video games for 8 hours at a time, and I would be upset if that's what they were allowed to do. But the research shows that it's the conflict itself that damages the kids, not what they're fighting about.
Right.
So if you can choose your battles with the other parent so carefully, save it for the really big things and try to, you know, let as much of that other stuff go. We get in, kids are placed square in the middle of their parents' conflict when parents are policing one another's parenting behavior at the other house.
That's true. And, you know, one of the things that I remember in going through my own divorce was that I had to realize that even though my daughter's dad and I, we weren't going to be married anymore, she was always going to be her dad. And for me, it was a lot easier because I didn't have to deal with him anymore, except mm-hmm. in issues that revolved around her. Mm-hmm. But she had to navigate the waters of both of us. And a lot of times as parents, we forget that. Well, I'm divorcing him. He's out of my life. I don't have anything to do with him anymore. That does make it easier for me, but it doesn't for the child. And so no matter what, it's really important for us to encourage our children to foster the relationship with the other parent. Would you both agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yep. The kids that do worse after divorce are the kids who lose that relationship with one parent or the other. Those are the kids that are hurting. That's a huge void to fill. I could talk for hours on this subject alone. And so I work in child protection as well, and I can tell you, even for those kids in child protection where abuse has happened, they need absolutely, for their well-being, to have a relationship with both of their parents as long as they're safe.
Right.
There's a natural thing that, sometimes parents do, which is so wrong, and I don't even know if they do it. They want to be the better parent.
Right.
Right? And they want the other parent to not be the better parent. Yep. And they forget that it's important for the child to have a very strong, positive relationship with both parents.
It's not a competition.
It's not a competition.
Yeah, it's not a competition. And I think, too, that we also have to realize as parents that when we do split up, one of the things that we lose as parents, even though we're both still always the parent, is the jointness of the decision making. And, you know, on the major things, you come together on, you know, college and schooling and that kind of thing. But the day-to-day parenting issues sometimes can really diverge because we may be two very different people. And so having respect for that, what the other parent chooses to do, doesn't mean that we have to accept it as our own way. But where do you come across that, Erin?
Well, I one of the things I say a lot is, you know, each parent is completely responsible for their own relationship with their child. Mm-hmm. So to the extent that, you know, I make mistakes as a mother, that is my bed to lie in. So if I make mistakes, that is for me to fix, for me to repair with my child. My kids' dad cannot solve those problems for me, cannot control what I'm doing as a parent. So each parent is solely responsible for their own relationship with their child. And I think in divorce, that is a hard, when if one parent feels the other parent is completely deficient in some way, that's a hard pill to swallow. But you know, those kids are going to love both parents even when they've made huge mistakes and even when they've been completely hurtful to the other parent. That's always about what's going on between the parents, not what's going on between child and parent.
You know, and one thing we haven't talked about is sometimes kids need other help. You know, sometimes kids need therapy. Sometimes kids need some safe person to talk to.
Right.
And because every child is different. Their emotions are different. Their age is different. The situation is different. And I think some parents, unfortunately, are reluctant to think that their child might need some outside assistance. So sometimes that's important to consider as well.
Yeah. And I know that's a great point, Anne, because that child does need a safe place. And when there is a divorce, that place they always felt was safe is gone. I mean, they may still be in the physical location of the house that they were raised in, but the household is not the same. You know, one parent is gone from that place. And the structure as they know it and they've been comfortable with has been destroyed. And so that is a really, really good point. Erin, I know you do a lot of classes for parenting, and maybe that's a good time to bring that up. You have one coming up, right?
I do. I'm actually teaching at Roberta's beautiful Fair Hypnosis Center on April 18th at 6:30 in the evening, and it's a free class. And we do reviews afterwards, and always get really good reviews. It's full of really valuable information, and like I said, it's free. I teach it just because I absolutely love to teach it, and I think the information in there, you know, parents who are going through this process haven't done it before, and they don't necessarily know how to do it.
Right.
So it's very normal to make mistakes and to be kind of, you know, slogging through the process, and the class that I teach is an hour and a half class, and it's tons of great information on how
to get and through. I think the point that you made there is really important. As parents, we're not perfect. And all of these things are opportunities for our children, for us to model for them how to handle conflict, how life isn't always the way you hope it would be and it doesn't turn out that way, about relationships. And not that we share too much detail with them, but our kids are watching us and they're depending on us. And that's more pressure for us, but to set the tone because they might find themselves in this situation one day, right? And how they get through it is largely dependent upon how they watch us go through it.
Right. Absolutely agree. 100%.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah. So it's really, really important. Erin, you made the point before, how the divorce is communicated is so, so important for the child, and how we go through that whole process, because they are watching and they are taking everything in, no matter what we try to hide from them or not. It's apparent somehow. For our children. Let me see if there's anything else that we – is there anything else you guys want to add on this before we quick go to break?
Just one follow-up, and it was back for another conversation. I think the issue of custody, this label of custody, is going away in the law a little bit. And I think that helps parents. There, it comes up in the legal process, but much less so. And I think that's important.
Yes,
excellent.
For sure.
All right, we'll talk more about that when we come back. We're here with Erin and Anne talking about parenting children through divorce. We'll be back in a few minutes. Welcome back, everybody. This is Minding Your Health, and we're here with Anne Byrne from Byrne Law Office and Erin Kassebaum with Resolution Divorce Services. And when we left, Anne, you were just talking about custody, and over the break we were saying there's a couple little things you wanted to tidy up there.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify the conversation. First of all, almost always parents will share what's called joint legal custody. They will be involved with the big decisions about their children, where they go to school, health care, medicine, religion, all those things. They will share that. That's called legal custody. Mm-hmm. And then there's this other thing called physical custody, and that used to be so important in the law. I need physical custody of my children. And as attorneys, and I know as mediators, we're trying to get rid of that label and talk about parenting time. Where should the kids be spending their time with each parent? And sometimes it's a simple thing, but sometimes taking that label, you will share that legal custody. Let's just talk about where the kids are going to be day to day. It just takes this sort of brick off people's shoulders, I think, and it makes a big difference. I am going to have care of my children, and let's get these legal labels kind of – let's put them to the side. And that's a change that's happened recently, and I'm very supportive of it.
Yeah, and there's such a thing that comes into play there when we start talking about – that it's very complicated about the role we want to have with our child and maybe the role we actually have. It's funny. I was watching Madam Secretary last week, and there's a big divorce going on there, primarily because he's always at work because his job is so demanding. And she's filing for full custody. And the reality of it is that he doesn't have time. Not at this moment, but it was really hard for him to see that in the scheme of things and what was best for his child. And so it's caused a lot of conflict. And I'm sure that happens in real life.
Absolutely.
Where we want to feel we want to be that equal parent, but in reality, that isn't what it means time-wise.
Right.
Doesn't mean that we can't be very important and have those moments and that time when we are together to be most impactful. But this idea of time doesn't necessarily mean 50-50.
Correct.
It doesn't, and I say to parents all the time that you can have just as significant of a relationship with your child with, you know, very minimal parenting time that you – I mean, we get very – as adults get very hung up on the time. But for kids, there is no amount of time that is going to change how much they love and care for their parents. So I've seen parents with much less parenting time have an amazingly significant relationship with their kids.
Yeah, so. It is about being present and
absolutely.
Being there and being involved rather than having them in your house and you're doing work. That's not spending time with your child.
Yep.
So.
And I wanted to get back to what you were just saying about the parent that works all the time. We see that a lot in divorce. And one of the wonderful things that we can see happen is maybe a formerly less involved parent, because they get divorced, becomes a much more involved parent because they have to. And that is a huge win for kids.
It is.
Absolutely huge win for kids.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the tools and techniques that are available to divorcing parents. Who wants to start with that?
Well, why don't I do the legal ones?
Oh,
and
sure.
Then, because those are the ones probably we want to avoid, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, we have a lot of tools we can use on the legal side, but more often than not, they involve experts that we didn't decide we wanted to use, and judges and courts. So we can participate in a custody evaluation, and that's when you hire an expert and they spend all this time, they micromanage coming and watching you parent your child and watching the other spouse parenting their child, and they make recommendations to judges that take the control away from parents.
That's the
biggest sort of tool we have. We'll use it if we have to, but we prefer not to. There's also processes called social early neutral evaluations, which is kind of a quick jumpstart on a custody evaluation. Those tend to be fairly successful, but they do involve court services and court oversight. And so those are a couple of the legal tools we have. I would prefer not to use those if we can use some of the non-legal tools first, and then maybe Erin can talk about those.
Yeah, I mean, mediation is a huge tool that we see all the time where parents are really put in the driver's seat of making their own decisions. And obviously the parents are coming in, they're there because they don't agree. But the power of sitting down at the table and having a focused conversation on the future, because sometimes we do end up digging into what's happened in the past, and that's a normal part of the process. But trying, as a mediator, I'm always trying to keep the conversation future focused. How is this going to work for your kids? Let's look forward. I know you've had all this bad stuff that's maybe happened, but in the end, your kid's going to do best by still being able to love you and have you in their lives. So let's figure out how we're going to do it. And just sitting and having a conversation is a huge tool. I would also say therapy, which Anne touched on for kids. I mean, if it were up to me, it would be a mandate that every kid and parent, for that matter. The parents that I work with that have been through some therapeutic process prior to seeing me are so much better prepared for the divorce process than the parents who come in that have one's been bamboozled. I mean, those are the hardest cases that I work at where, one parent's totally shocked. But some parents who've done some therapy, some preparation, some emotional preparation for the process, because divorce, I say this all the time, is essentially a business deal. We're looking at how we're going to split up your money and how you're going to split up your time with your kids. And it's a business deal. So let's try to keep it about the business and the emotions we take care of either in a therapy room or with your friends over a glass of wine or whatever it is. But we're really trying to create a future for you that works, and it's more about business than it is necessarily about emotions.
Yeah, and I think, I look at the clients that I see that come into my office. It goes back to what we're modeling for our children as we're going through this divorce process, because they didn't have that good modeling. And a lot of their problems with their divorce stem from what they learned from either their friends' divorces or their own parents' divorces, and they carry that baggage with them. And it's very emotional for them because it triggers all of what they felt when they were that little child going through it. And that doesn't ever leave them. And they've never had chance to resolve that in a good way. So a lot of times parents with me are there to deal with their old emotions. They're really old emotions that have never been resolved. And when they can do that, they find that their current divorce that they're actually going through, they can put that stuff aside and be present with their current situation. So I think there's a lot of tie in here. We're kind of getting to the end of the segment. What I really would like for our listeners is to know how to contact you. And how do they contact you?
They can contact me on my website. They can call me. They can email me. My website is www.byrnelawoffice.com. They can call me at 952-943-3909. And my email is abyrne@burnlawoffice.com.
Great. Erin, how about you?
They can find me at resolutiondivorceservices.com. Or my phone number is 612-599-8366, or email me at Erin, E-R-I-N, at resolutiondivorceservices.com.
Ladies, I thank you so much for being here and being part of the show today. I know this is helpful to a lot of our listeners out there that if they aren't personally in this situation, they might know somebody that you might be great referrals for. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and I'm with the FAIR Hypnosis Center. You can find me at fairhypnosis.com. That's F-A-R-E, hypnosis.com. I'd like you all to join me here next week where we're finishing up the the last of our parenting series, where we're going to be talking with Jill Haweler from Leadership Refinery. She's going to be discussing parenting and career challenges with us next week. So for all of you out there, have a mindful week, and we'll see you here at 10 next Saturday on Minding Your Health.